I welcome you with all my heart. I love you all unconditionally. All is well. There are no mistakes. Everything is in its right place where it's supposed to be. People keep asking me, Robert, how long does it take to become self-realized? When will I become self-realized? The answer is always the same. When you get rid of the world in your mind. The world is in your mind. Where else would it be? It doesn't exist on its own. It has no existence on its own. It exists in your mind. You have created it out of your own mind. Consequently, when you uncreate the universe, the world, and your mind, self-realization won't be there. It never was anywhere. It's yours. You've got it. It is the world that you believe in that keeps you back. It's like the clouds in front of the sun. Today we have no sun, we have rain, and we think there's no sun. What happened to the sun? We call it a gloomy day. We say we feel depressed when it's not sunny. But yet the sun is in back of the clouds. And the clouds will dissipate and you'll be full of sun again. And so it is with life. You believe conditions are real. You believe persons, places, and things are real. You will not remember they are of your own creation. You forget about this. No matter how many times I tell you this, you look at the world and you react to it because you think the world is real. This is what keeps you away from self-realization. This is the only thing, there's nothing else. If you're only able to get rid of the world in your mind by putting it back up into the mind, going for the source of creation, you will see it comes out of you. You are the one who created everything. You are the one. So, what you have to do is uncreate the universe. You uncreate the universe by looking at things and not reacting to them, or just observing the world, doing this and doing that, but having no reaction whatsoever. Neither good nor bad. Neither happy nor sad. It's like looking at a movie. You're in the audience looking at the movie has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But it has absolutely nothing to do with you. You wouldn't get up on the screen and start beating up the bad guy. Maybe you would, I don't know. Because you realize this is a movie. It will end soon, and then go back home. So it is with spiritual life. It's a movie. You are the screen. and the images of things are superimposed on the screen. What this means is all in your mind. All of creation is in your mind. You create your own world, the world in which you live in now. It came out of you, you've done it. Otherwise, where would it come from? Now, as I said, I've explained this to you many times, but most of you still believe that you have to read books, find sacred teachers, meditate for hours, travel the world looking for the right person, the right place, the right thing, searching for the Holy Grail to become free. What are you doing when you do this? Aren't you accumulating more knowledge? You want to empty the garbage pail. Let's keep adding to it. True? But yet you keep adding to it. Every time you read a new book, it comes out. You're adding to the garbage pail. In other words, you're inflating your ego more and more. The ego becomes bigger and bigger. Because you have something new to talk about, don't you? A new teacher, a new method, a new mantra. You become excited over this, you become excited over that. This is what keeps you back from realization. Always remember this. Never forget this. You want to subtract, you want to delete, not add on. No matter how many times I tell you this, there's still somebody calling me and says, Robert, have you read this book? It just came out. Great book. Well, I found a new method. Staying on my head, repeating a mantra, we'll do it. Think of what you're doing. There are no new methods. There are no methods. All you have to do is remove the world. You do this simply by looking, by observing, by watching intelligently. And inside of you there's something that tells you this is not real, this is not me. I have nothing to do with this world. My nature is Brahman. I am the absolute reality. I am consciousness. I am pure awareness. Not the world. You want to unlearn everything you've ever learned. You want to become a divine madman. Know absolutely nothing. Nothing means no thing. You may say, well, what about a profession? This is okay for people who live in ashrams, who have given up the world, but I have to work for a living. This is all foolishness. What you have to do will be done without you. This is again something to remember. Your body will do whatever has to be done and do it perfectly and good when you get yourself out of the way. As long as you believe that you are the doer, and it's up to you to make things right or wrong, you suffer accordingly. But when you let go and let God, so to speak, everything works harmoniously, beautifully, and you'll always find yourself in the right place, doing the right things. Yet you never plan anything, you never scheme, you never try to make anything happen. You're simply observing the world, observing conditions, but not reacting to them at all. This is how you become self-realized. When the last ounce of world is removed from you, and there's nothing left, you awaken to the truth of your being. But as long as you're holding on to something, things frighten you, things make you angry, things make you mad, then you have a problem. Again, you have to unlearn everything you've learned. You have to let go of everything you've been holding on to. To be free, you have to become nothing, perfect nothing, nothing. Then freedom is yours. Another problem we have on this path is judgment. Many of us are very judgmental. And this again keeps you back from your realization. When you're judgmental, who are you judging but yourself? If you're familiar with metaphysical Advaita, you begin to understand that there's only one self. And you are that self, so whom are you judging? You're judging yourself. You hurt yourself when you judge someone else. You have to learn to leave people alone, to leave the world alone. And not be judgmental. You say to yourself, well, this person is doing this, and this person is doing that. This person is you. This person is separate from you. When you hear about the bank robber, you hear about the murderer, you hear about man and humanity is a man, you want to become outraged. But as long as you're staying as Veda, and you're coming on this path, then you have to understand there's nobody to be outraged at. There's nothing to be outraged at. It's all yourself. There's only one self, and that self is you. You are that self. Out of you emanates everybody and everything. So you become outrageous yourself. This strikes me as very funny when I see people being angry at people, hurting people, hurting themselves. It comes back to you. It comes back in different ways, strange ways. But it always comes back to you. And you say, well, you mean I'm supposed to be a doormat and let people walk all over me? On the contrary, that will never happen to you if you're in the right consciousness. If you're in the right consciousness, people will never walk all over you at all. People will leave you alone. When you understand that you are the one self, who can hurt you? But think of the ways you get mixed up in this world. By believing situations are real. Think of your life just today, since you got out of bed. How many things turned you on to anger, to hatred? To disharmony. It's your fault. It's always your fault. A wise student of Advaita never reacts to anybody or anything. But when your ego is at play, then you're going to say to yourself, they can't talk about me like that. They can't do this to me. I'll show them. I'll get even. I'll do this and I'll do that. Who are you hurting but yourself? For you believe you are a body going through experiences. And that's a lie. You're not a body not going through any experiences. You are Brahman. You're all pervading. You're not a body that appears to be a body and is bound. You're boundless awareness. Whenever you're judgmental again, you can never get the correct picture. I use the keyhole example again. You look through a keyhole, you see four people fighting with each other. With knives and clubs, beating the hell out of each other. And you look through the keyhole and you're saying, wow, this is terrible. This is awful, look what's going on. They're beating each other to death. I better try to do something to stop this. So you open the door and you're surprised. You're no longer looking out of the keyhole, you're seeing the whole picture. You're seeing these people on the stage. And you see an audience of millions of people. And they're acting this out. It's not real, it's all a play. It's a play of consciousness, it's a leela. And you're amazed. Now the audience represents consciousness. The players on the stage represent the ego. The ego is always fighting, always angry, always trying to get even. Always thinks about me, 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 me. While the infinite lies in sweet repose, smiling, observing, watching. There's nothing. Then you notice the play is over. And the people who are fighting go down to the audience and become part of the audience. They've overcome, they've transcended. They're part of consciousness. And new players take the place. No, there's a war on the stage. Like the war in the Bhagavad Gita. Or like the Civil War. Nation against nation, people are killing each other, there's blood all over the place. But now you're able to see the whole picture. And that is served. For after a while, all of the players come down from the stage and join the audience. They become part of consciousness. Then you look again, you see there's nothing. There's no longer an audience, there's no stage, there's no players. There's absolute bliss. Everything is turned into bliss. Into joy. Into happiness. So you see, all of your judgments were wrong. Remember, you've been programmed since you were a child to believe certain things are good, certain things are bad, and this is this way and this is that way. But nothing is anyway. Everything just is. And your programming makes you feel upset. Your programming makes you feel something is wrong, that you have to take some action to do something to somebody. This is all a lie. Another example is the tapes I play here. Some people have asked me, Robert, why do you play some of these tapes that have nothing to do with spirituality? And I say, you just answered your own question. I play them because they have nothing to do with spirituality. To break up your linear thinking. Some of you believe that being spiritual is having a long face, never laughing, taking things seriously. This is my real self.
It's an improvement.
We have to be serious about spiritual life. You're not supposed to laugh. You're supposed to be real serious. This is a serious situation.
So you finally had your nose fixed. It's an improvement.
This is me.
I see.
Therefore, you believe things should be a certain way. So I play certain tapes to break up that thinking. Everything I do with you is planned.
Seconds ahead of time.
True.
Next week we'll all have one of those. That's a new method.
Everything is sacred. Everything is spiritual. Everything. There's no such thing as this is spiritual, this is not. Somebody else asked me, well, Robert, why do you play some love songs once in a while? Because I'm in love with you, with life, with the self. So I do this for you. Learn to be loving. Not to pick, 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 pick. Learn to be happy. Learn to be yourself. That's all I've got to say for you.
It's transcendent.
Maybe Jake has become realized.
Nothing. Nada.
Is the volume?
You fix it, Mary. You
all don't hear it?
Bravo.
It is now the time again to play
Stump the Guru.
Right. We have stumpers?
Yes, right here.
Oh, no. Yeah. You're ahead of me, Mary.
Yeah. I tested already, but we only got three.
You knew it was coming, didn't you, Bob?
Robert, is one's enlightenment also predestined, or can one get enlightened at any moment? I've been waiting 15 and a half years already.
Enlightenment has absolutely nothing to do with predestination. They're both different places, different things. Predestination doesn't exist except when you believe you're the body. So as long as you're working from that viewpoint, you have a problem. But if you forget all about predestination, you go back to yourself, where you really are, by giving up all attachment, giving up all kinds of holding on to the universe in any way, shape, or form, then you become free. You're already free. You've always been free. There never was a time when you were not free. So predestination is one part of the ball game. Realization is your very nature. In reality, there's no predestination. Because who determines predestination? Good old Ishwara, the god of karma. But does that god really exist? Only for the one who believes they are the body in the world is real. As long as you feel everything that happens to you is real, as long as you feel upset, mad, angry, something's wrong, then you are creating the God called Ishvara. And he's your son of to you called karma. And it goes through your karma, and goes through predestination and everything else. But when you're ready to give it up, you will dive deeper within the self, understand immediately who you are, and become free and liberated. The choice is always yours. You want to go through life playing these games over and over again for another 15 years? Give it up. Forget about time and space. Understand who you are, what you are, where you came from, where you're going. And you'll find out you came from nowhere, you're nothing, you're not going anywhere. You've always been, you'll always be. Just the way you are. Pure Brahman. Absolute reality. This is you.
Sometimes one is on a path of training with very great masters, and being a yogini for a long, long time, then how do you know what your career is? Which truly benefits the greatest amount of beings, and also the financial abundance is continually also there? Question mark. Thank you.
Being a yogini, being on the path, are really the conclusion that you come to. A yogini and a yogi are both on the same path to destruction. For these people go over life after life after life after life, they never find freedom realization because they think they're on a path. Forget about a past. There never was a past. It's a mirage, hallucination. Just think you've got to be on a path. You are what you are, and that's what you are. You're Popeye the Sailor Man. That's who you are. Accept it. We think too much. That's our problem. We just think too much. We think by thinking we're going to solve any situation, we're going to come to a resolution, we're going to become enlightened. Not by thoughts, not by thinking, not by words. But again, by emptying yourself out completely. So for the yogini, get rid of the idea that you're a yogini. Get rid of the idea there's a path that you're on. You have to follow a path. Get rid of the idea you've been doing this for 15 years and nothing has happened to you. All those are stumbling blocks. There are no paths to realization. There's only realization. Realization is already here. It's always been here and never was anywhere. All you have to do is to awaken to it. Wake up. Awaken to yourself. Stop thinking. Stop trying to make things happen. leave everything alone. See the truth in yourself by denying everything in the world. What do I mean by denying everything in the world? By looking at things and saying, neti, neti, not this, not this. This is not the truth. When you're watching television, don't feel what you're watching, the news, as if it were true. This is not the truth. Tell yourself, this is not it, this is not it. As you keep doing this, you're emptying yourself out. But if you don't do this, what are you doing? You're absorbing more information, aren't you? And what happens when you absorb more information? Your ego expands. The more information you absorb, the more your ego expands. Think of all the information you absorbed this week about politics, about crime, about man's humanity to man, about what's going on in the world. And you eat it up. You're filling up the garbage pail. Instead of emptying it, you're filling it up. Whenever somebody bothers you, whenever somebody annoys you, whenever you're bored to be judgmental, think of what you're doing. You're filling up the garbage pail more and more and more. How can you ever become enlightened this way? It's impossible. You're keeping yourself back by looking at everything as being real. As far as your employment goes, as far as your job is concerned, that will always take care of itself. It will always take care of yourself. You will do what you have to do. But you have nothing to do with it. It may sound paradoxical, but it's true. Whatever has to be done will be done, but it has nothing to do with you. Become like an apple tree. The apple tree doesn't worry whether it's going to bear apples this year. The apples come by themselves. Everything happens by itself. And I know I'm very serious when I say this. Look at my face and I'll tell you. Have you ever seen anybody more serious than this?
Huh? Robert, how can we trust you when you have to hide behind a disguise?
Who told you to trust me? You shouldn't trust me.
Does your nose make a noise like a horn? If we could we squeeze it?
No, it'll fall off. My nose will fall off. When you trust yourself, you'll trust me. I am nothing but a reflection of you. You have all created me this way. You're looking at yourself. What have you done to yourself?
Like a reincarnation of Sigmund Freud.
Whatever you say, that's what I am.
Some masters said there is no teacher and no disciple. Can you comment on that?
If there's no teacher, no disciple, what's the comment on? Listen next time.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to comment? Make funny noises?
Yeah, I got a deal. Oftentimes we hear this thing, God is love. And the word love means so many things now, but in this context, it might be called oneness, which is the same as pure awareness or pure consciousness. And if anything is separate from that, from oneness, then it's departed from reality. And well, let's see, I had this straight in my mind at one point. In other words, everything is nothing. And nothing is everything, as you said. And if I think is anything is separate from me, I'm separate from God and separate from the self with a capital S. In other words, if I think I'm different from the Brooklyn Bridge or the Taj Mahal, I'm living in ignorance. That's right.
Could you summarize that question?
That's fairly complicated, but it's true. You wound that up nicely.
Well, you need a psychiatrist.
Fred, you are the essence of all existence.
Who else?
Don't ask me.
Congratulations. We all are.
So you're the Brooklyn Bridge or everything you want to be?
You're going
to lock them up if they
have. I bet you always wanted to be a Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, my dream. My mother, sir, dedicated.
She did? Well, that's why you're at.
1885.
1885.
You gave birth to the Brooklyn Bridge. You stumped him. You stumped the girl, you've done it.
I say the essence of everything.
That another thought. We might come upon some important information if we compare the dream state with the waking state. Because in the deep sleep state, something happens. And all kinds of things arise in the dream state. Some things that we are familiar with in the waking state, and some things all new. They just arise. They're witnessed and they go away again. And the time element is altogether different than it is in the waking state. It may seem like a long period of time in the dream, but in the waking state, the time in the waking state is altogether different. The idea is that everything in the dream state is unreal. We don't worry about it the next morning. And it's a similar situation in the waking state. Is that not so also?
Yes, it's so.
Thank you.
Any other brilliant questions? I'll play some more music. As many of you are aware, Joel Goldsmith was the first teacher that I contacted when I had my experience when I was 14 years old. And he meant a great deal to me. So Mary's going to read to you from one of his writings. why words and syllables are a waste of time to speak. Come on.
All too often, prayer consists to too great a degree of words, statements, quotations, whereas prayer itself actually is wordless. Prayer has nothing to do with anything that we voice, whether in the form of a petition, affirmation, denial, or any other form of speech or thought. Rather, prayer is that which we become aware of in the silence, the Word of God uttering itself within our consciousness. In other words, we do not pray unless prayer can be understood as a state of receptivity. Actually, the Word of God is nothing that we say, but rather that which God says within us. One form of meditation is to quietly consider some idea concerning God, think upon it, or even voice it, but dwell upon it for only a short time. Then become receptive and let the meditation come through from God. In other words, God does the meditating. We become aware of the fruits of that meditation. In an introduction to an old edition of the Bible, we read, "For as the kingdom of God become words or syllables, why should we be in bondage to them if we be free?" Is the kingdom of God words? Is the kingdom of God syllables? No. The kingdom of God is within you, and that kingdom of God must make itself manifest to you. It must declare itself to you, utter itself to you, voice itself to you. And so, the kingdom of God is not your words, nor your syllables. In our prayers, very often we carry around problems and we wonder what form of treatment we could use for this particular problem or that particular problem, or what form of prayer, or if there was some greater understanding we could acquire as to how to pray. If you are having that experience, ponder this passage and the realization in it. For is the kingdom of God become words or syllables? Why should we be in bondage to them, that is, to the words or the syllables? If we be free, Scripture teaches that we are free. We are children of God. If children, then heirs. If heirs, then joint heirs in Christ with God. We are already free. If we were not free, there is no God power that could make us free. We are free, and the entire truth teaching is, of course, to bring out that realization or revelation of our present freedom, not to make it so. It would be well for us to remember, with any of the problems now bothering us, that we might just as well not be in bondage to words or syllables or statements of truth, but be willing to sit a while and let God reveal its plan to us, its plan for us, to us. We find this in the Smith translation of the Scriptures, the 19th Psalm. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The sky shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day pours forth speech. Night unto night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes forth through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. For the last four lines goes back to the first. The heavens are telling the glory of God. But then it says, there is no speech, nor are there words. And that is true. The heavens are not voicing themselves in words or speech, and yet they are telling the glory of God. And the sky shows forth the work of his hands, and he says, their voice is not heard. Certainly the sky has no voice, and yet it does show forth the work of his hands. Yet their voice goes forth. That is the heavens and the sky and the day and the night. Their voice goes forth without speech, without syllables, without words. Their voice goes forth and declares. And so it is that our entire experience is one that shows forth the glory of God. It tells the story or the glory of God. Our whole experience, our entire life, our bodies, are continuously showing forth the work of his hands. If at this moment our bodies, our health, does not seem to be showing forth that divine harmony, it is only because we have come under the belief that we have health of our own, bodies of our own, powers of our own, instead of realizing that all that concerns us in the body, in the purse, or in the home is God showing itself forth, manifesting its beauties, its nature, and its character. The moment we make the transition from the belief that we have health, that we can lose or gain, the moment that we give up the idea, the belief, that we have health that can be improved, and understand that the only health that there is in all the universe is the health of God manifesting itself as the health of our bodies or being. Then do we come into the realization of this 19th Psalm. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and they are doing it without words and without speech. The sky shows forth the work of his hands, and it does it without words and without speech. Day unto day pours forth speech. Yes, but day unto day does not talk. It only pours forth speech in the sense of pouring forth the harmony of God's being. Night unto night declares knowledge, and it does so without voicing it in speech or other impartations of ideas, except through the activity of showing off God's glory. Now, all that we are and all that we hope to be is God, showing itself forth as our health, as our strength, as all of the good in our experience. Then let us give up at once the belief that our health or wealth is dependent upon certain arrangements of words into treatments or prayers. For the kingdom of God is not words or syllables. The kingdom of God is already established within you. Give up the belief that your health or your wealth or home can be dependent upon anything other than the activity of God. Once you have seen that point, that it is the activity of God that maintains the harmony of your being, you will commence to see a new light on the subject of prayer.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.